Log Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, 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 oh. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Yeah, change it. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, y'all.
Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone. Yeah, yeah. Wake up, everybody. Wake up, everybody. Need a little help, y'all.
Yes, we do.
Need a little help.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. God bless you. Welcome to Love Connection Bible Study for this Monday, January 24th, 2022. Now, I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and I'm so glad to be serving as your moderator tonight. But right now, I'm going to turn you over to your anointed facilitator and host, Dr. Susan Beavers. Amen.
Good evening, everybody. We're so excited to have you with us tonight on Your Place Love Connection. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We are here tonight because we have a word from the Lord. We're going to be talking about some very important things that are germane to people right now. As you know, we've been studying Revelations. We've been studying the signs of the times. We've been talking about the end times. And the reality of it all is that we want to be ready. We want to be prepared. when God comes and for what God wants us to do. And so as we come tonight, we had Reverend Dr. Nate Harris to come and speak with us, but he was not able. He's not feeling well this evening and won't be able to join us. But instead, we're going to have Dr. Brian Mitchell from Maine, who's going to be talking a little bit about the topic of prepping. We're going to be using the Proverbs passage of 6 through 11, and we'll be operating out of that and the 30th chapter as well. So as we come together to talk about the study, that's exactly what we're going to be doing. And we just ask that you all come together, the Bible says to us, come let us reason together. And this is a topic that people have really been talking about. And so, you know, my kids kind of tease me because they always go, Mama, why are you putting all this stuff back? Why are you getting ready? So we don't talk about why to get ready, what we need to be doing to be ready when it comes. T.D. Jakes says, get ready, get ready, get ready. So we want to talk about getting ready tonight. But before we go into that, we would like to have the scripture reading, and we'd like to have a time of prayer. So as we start, I need to get a roll call. Who's on the roll tonight? Who's on the call tonight?
Bishop Michael.
So Bishop Michael, and I heard Margaret. Yes. Bishop Michael from Tulsa, and Margaret. Where are you this tonight, Margaret? Margaret from Ohio, or are you in Florida?
In Florida.
Margaret from Florida. Anybody else on the line tonight?
Brian from Maine.
Brian from Maine.
Come on in the room.
Come on in the room. All right. So we will start off with the groups that we have. So if I could get someone, Margaret, if you would mind, reading Proverbs 6 through 11. And
yes, ma'am.
Pardon me?
Yes, sure I will.
Okay. And then Bishop, if you will also get Proverbs 30, 24 through 28.
24. Through 28.
And be ready to do, we're going to do a prayer as well. After that, we'll do a prayer for those people who are struggling with food and needing to be able to find ways to have this principle help them. Intercessory prayer. So when you are ready, Margaret, we're ready whenever you're ready.
Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11, the New Living Translation. Take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer gathering food for the winter. But you, lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. The word of the Lord for the people of God.
Amen.
Amen. 24 through 28. There are four things on earth that are small, but they are very wise. Ants are not very strong, but they store up food in the summer. Rock badgers are not very powerful, but they can live among the rocks. Locusts have no king, but they all go forward in formation. And the last verse for this out of the New Century Version, lizards can be caught in the hand, but they are found even in kings' palaces. This is the word of the Lord, and we all say amen. Let's go to the
Amen.
Song.
Amen.
Lord, we bless you. We glorify you. We honor you. We worship and we adore you. You are our God and we are your children. Lord, three of the most faith-filled words in our vocabulary are thank you, Lord, because it presupposes that you're already there. But even if we didn't have the presupposition, we by our experience of your healing, your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your kindness, your hasid, your loving kindness, you have drawn us, God. We bless you. We honor you. We glorify you. We thank you. We give you the glory for who you are in our lives. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the restoration of our soul. We thank you for the refreshing of our spirit, Lord. We lift up these people that have had struggles with food and struggles with hunger and struggles with poverty. Lord, you told us that it is our job. You said, as we do unto least of these, your brethren, you did it unto me. So, Lord, we want to feed you. We want to give you drink. We want to give you clothes. We want to come visit you when you're in jail. We want to come visit you in the hospital despite of COVID. And, Father, as we understand what COVID is, that it is a plague in these end times, Lord, preserve your people. Put a hedge of protection around us, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we lift up those that have been infected by this plague. And, Lord, we pray their healing right now. I lift up everyone that is in the hospital or that is shut up in their homes because of this disease. Lord, we pray that you would break this power in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We pray for our unsaved loved one, that you would send ministers across their path, that they would receive the word and walk in it in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Holy Spirit, take over this Bible study. Let revelation knowledge flow. Let us find out the things we didn't know that we didn't know, and let us act accordingly after we find out what it is you want us to know. Be with us. Your presence be with us. Bless Dr. Susie as she moderates and facilitates this lesson in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for everybody. Thank you for Margaret. God bless you, and thank you for Brother Brian being here. Lord, you're able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we can ask or think, and we give you the glory and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. I am so excited tonight, and I'm excited because there are people all over who are prepping and planning and preparing. And the question that many have of why are they prepping for planning and preparing. And so I ask you all the question who are on the study tonight, why do you plan? Why do you plan to go to college? Why do you plan to do anything? Why do you plan to get married? Why do you plan? What is the reason for planning? Anybody?
Well, Dr. Susie, I've heard the old adage that if you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Well, amen.
So,
amen.
You know, as a football coach and as a track coach, I've had to do game plans. You know, as an educator, we have to have lesson plans. God help you if you don't have lesson plans. So,
I know that's right.
So if you're going to plan, you plan for good performance. You plan for a good outcome. No teacher, no coach ever plans to lose, no matter how bad their team is. So we plan for good success. That's what we plan for.
Amen. Anyone else? Why do you plan, Margaret? Do you plan?
I do plan, and I'm thinking to myself that I plan because I have seen some failures. And so I approached the future tasks that lay ahead, trying to plan and succeed, and also to pray and ask the Lord to help me with it and to guide me and direct my planning, because I don't know what obstacles may lay ahead.
Amen. 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 Anybody else? Is there a reason why you plan? Is there a reason why you are preparing?
This is Brian from Maine. Planning is a very, very deep and emotional topic. The reason it is because on this earth, we plan in many ways, and our plans are fit and made according to the scale of what we're planning for. For example, if we're planning to drive across a country, we simply plan what it will take to accomplish that goal. But we know that the goal is to get to the other side of the country. The plan and the scale of that plan is related to the magnitude of what we see coming before us. If we're planning to go to college and expecting to get a degree, we know that it might be 4 years, 5 years, 8 years, whatever that degree entails. So we plan that journey for that scale. What I've found about preparing for the future is people are having trouble grasping the scale of what they're preparing for. And that's because nobody can know, because we can't predict the future. When people talk about a reason to plan, they struggle with things like, well, I want to survive, or, well, I want to take care of my family, or we need to have food to eat, so we have to plan for that, no matter what governments or financial systems or anything else does, we need to be able to eat. So people set a scale in their mind that is possible for them to grasp based on the experiences they've had in the past and, frankly, what they've seen on television and in movies.
Mm-hmm.
What they've heard about history.
Okay.
So the most important thing initially is to know what you're planning for and to determine the scale of what you think you need to accommodate.
Okay. Well, thank you, Brian. I appreciate that. You know, the scripture tells us, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and God will establish your plans in Proverbs 16:3. And it talks about the things that we have to remember. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and establish the cost to see if you got enough money to complete it? And then the scripture in Jeremiah 29:11 that we all love, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. So, and basically it says, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. We want to be tuned in and ready, and we have to do our part, you know, but it is the Lord that leads, guides, and directs us and prepares and sustains us and helps us. But we have to do our part, and that is in being prepared to the best of our understanding. You know, the Bible tells us to, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plans. And so God gives us the plans in which we should pursue. And our scripture tonight is the scripture about the ant. And as we said, it says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. So what we're seeing here is this ant, the activities of this ant is making a point, and it's saying that the ant is
you know, we step on ants. We don't pay much attention to ants. We don't value them and think that they're really, you know, great creatures. But it's something about this ant that was so important that a note was made to look at its behavior. And the behavior is that the ant is putting things back and preparing. The ant's activities, okay, is showing organization, is showing cooperation, is showing that they're providing for their future, and they're using foresight and wisdom and knowledge. And I think that's something that is trying to give us a hint. We need to prepare. And when we prepare, we don't do it in fear, but we do it because we are being good stewards. So anybody else have any feelings or thoughts about that come to mind that they want to jump on about the ant? So, to me, planning is just a part of our everyday experience, right? How do we plan best? What's the best thing that we can do to plan? Anybody? You know, for me, it's we have to consult the Lord. So, Margaret, when Amen. You plan, do you pray about it first? What do you do when you're planning? How do you handle your planning?
I do pray and ask the Lord for direction. Sometimes I run ahead of the Lord, but whenever I'm preparing for the day, I will ask for the Lord to bless the activities of the day and to guide me and lead me in case he doesn't mm-hmm. want me to do what I had in mind.
Amen. Amen. And so it's important that when we plan to ask a few questions like, why is it important? Does God have a plan? Are we operating in God's plan? What does God say about making plans? Are we ready to start planning with a purpose? What Bible verses support our planning? And what does it say about planning and having goals? How can we ensure successful planning? Because it says that we need to consult God first, and in that planning, God will provide for us. And we have to write down our vision. We have to get an accountability partner. Whoa, that's another thing. You know, when we do our planning, sometimes we need some support and help. So we reach out and get an accountability partner, somebody who can help us to stand and to walk in what it is that we plan and we believe in. And then we got to remember that God has the plan for us ultimately. And as we're doing our planning, understanding that, you know, ultimately God's plan is the best plan that we can have. And as we go through this salvation, it's what we lean and depend on, understanding that God will take care of us no matter what we encounter. And so that's ultimately where we want to be, is understanding that we walk under the umbrella of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who sustains us and keeps us. But in the process, in our humanity and the things that we can do of our own, you know, we do our part and we plan to put back and prepare. So as we go through tonight, I want us to start thinking about these types of things, thinking about as Christians. We got to remember, God is in control now. We can't take the control, but we know that God is in control, right? But he's given us free will and the ability to choose to prepare for our future and his plans for us. Amen?
Amen.
So Brian, we have Brian on the line tonight, and we want to continue to have dialogue surrounding these things. So, Brian, what are some of the things that you can share with us that are kind of essential things to look at if we want to prepare? You know, we're looking to try to be like the ant in 2022. What are some of the things that we can think about?
Well, as you mentioned, what the Lord brings to us through prayer can help us to identify the scale of which he wants us to prepare for. Depending on if you're in a rural setting or in an urban setting, preparations can be very different, but it has to be tied to what you believe and feel the Lord is delivering to you for guidance. because sometimes things are too big, too diverse, too uncertain for us to settle on in our own mind. And we can even trip ourselves up if we try to do that. So if a person lives, for example, in a rural setting, as I do, I pray for how I can be in a good position to have what I need to sustain myself so that I can bear witness, that I can help other Christian people, that I can help my own family, and that I may look and be delivered opportunities to share the gospel. In my own microcosm, my own scenario, I'm looking and have been already starting the process of having a Christian community of believers ready to build their facilities and ready to build their cabins in a remote off-grid location in Maine. Turns out over the last 6 months, there's been over 300 people who have contacted the owners of the land and have voiced interest in moving to that facility and collaborating with each other.
So,
if that should come about.
So questions surrounding that is, why would someone need to go off grid? And what do you mean by going off grid?
That's an excellent question. Right now, all the people who I'm speaking about, except for nine, live in cities and towns and small communities, and they are working, almost all of them are working jobs right now of various types. Some are retired, but we're living in the world doing what we do as professions and doing what we do in the community. We go to church, we pray for each other, we have friends and family. Some of the friends are believers, some are not, and we're just kind of living that life. But we envision a time where it may be necessary to be able to raise our own food, to be able to, no matter what a government does or what happens to financial systems, to be able to sustain ourselves with water, food, and shelter.
So let's talk about what you just said. That's a lot right there. So basically what you're saying is going off grid means to get away from, to get further enough away to where you aren't detected by the, the system itself?
Let me help you with the concept. There'll never be a way to be isolated and hidden. There will never be a reason to be isolated and hidden. For example, this community expects to be an outreach to all the surrounding towns and cities within reach, even if we have to walk. We expect to be a clanging cymbal. We anticipate being a voice in the wilderness that attracts people to the gospel. So we're going to be very, very visible. What I mean by off-grid is we're looking to prepare for what could be the worst scenario, praying that it never happens. In other words, we are planning a community structure where we can have food, water, and shelter without electricity if needed, without money if needed, without the flow of goods coming in trucks if that's needed. That doesn't mean that'll ever happen. But whatever degree or extent of any of those subsets do happen, we want to be able to survive and continue to be that voice coming from the wilderness to the lost.
Amen. Anybody else have any questions? I have a few, but I don't want to just dominate. Does anybody else have any questions?
I really don't have a question. In as much as I do have an observation biblically, when Pharaoh had this dream, he couldn't understand the dream of the fat cows and the lean cows. And Joseph had the revelation of the dream that we were going to have these fat years, and we needed to prep for the lean years. And when they prepped for the lean years, because of what God had told and had revealed first to Pharaoh in the dream, and then Pharaoh received a revelation from Joseph, Egypt was saved. Not only was Egypt saved, but so was Israel. So there is a biblical principle to present. They didn't freak out. They didn't, they didn't go crazy. Oh, it's going to be a famine. The famine came, and they were what? They were prepared.
Yes, and they were prepared. Yes.
So there is
they had lots of grain stored.
Yes.
Amen. So, you know, it's really interesting when we talk about, so there are people who have talked about the need to prepare, especially I was acquainted with some of the people who just recently experienced the freeze in Texas. And there was a lady who shared that they were not prepared when the ice hit. And when the ice hit, she and her family had nowhere to go, nowhere to do. That her neighbor was burning cardboard boxes to try to keep her and her daughter alive. They were freezing to death. And so what happened is they got together and had to go to a hotel. The hotel was charging exorbitant amounts of money just so that they could be warm. And she vowed she would never, ever let that happen to her again. She has a generator. She has all these things to back up so that she is prepared in case the grid goes down, in case an EMP comes. Can somebody talk about an EMP? So it's not uncommon that people talk about, Brian, do you want to talk about the EMP? What an EMP is?
I can, sure. Before I speak about that topic, there's always ways to make it. Okay? There's always things that can be done as long as people think ahead and plan ahead. It's probably counterproductive, actually, for everybody who has a house, everybody who has a property, to think about how they as an individual or as a family would survive long term in a very serious crisis. In other words, my home, my castle, my stuff probably won't hold up for very long. The only thing that has a chance of holding up is my community, my friends, my family, my collaborators, our stuff, our plan and our strategy has a chance of working. In America, we've become used to having our house, our car, our television, and our job, and we run to the grocery store when we need to. That strategy works for now, and I hope it works for a long time. But if it ever doesn't work, we have to literally divorce ourselves from the concept of protecting ourselves or a little microcosm, and be willing to hold hands with, pray with, share with everybody we can bring together in a geographic area. Especially, let me put it this way, we're approaching a time in our history, and the Lord has put us here at this time. He didn't born us 1,000 years ago. He didn't born us 200 years ago. He born us at this time so that we'd be here for this series of events and transitions. We have to take that to heart. You know, he's put us here now, and it's our time probably the what's coming is probably the most single important time for the body of Christ to band together and to learn to work together to cut across all boundaries of race, color, creed, attitudes, political beliefs, social constructs. It's time for the body of Christ to start behaving as Christians did when the Roman Empire was falling apart and they were being chased and pursued and murdered. And then the Roman Empire fell apart and they had a chance to start building communities. We're getting back to that scenario, mm-hmm. chances are. So with regard to electricity, there are many, many things that can cause electricity to go off. A government can simply decide to turn it off. It's really that simple. An EMP, which is an electromagnetic pulse, could happen from the sun. It happened in the year 1906, and it fried all the electrical devices which happened at the time. That's a stream of energy that explodes from the sun and heads to Earth and literally fries everything that's electronic. Nothing electronic would work after one of those type of events. Governments could attack each other. There are types of nuclear missiles which can be exploded up in the atmosphere, cause almost no damage at all to the people or structures or buildings below it, but create an electromagnetic pulse that wipes out almost everything electronic, all computers, all gas pumps, all lighting, you know, all factories that produce lights, everything gone. And it takes only four of those explosions to blacken the entire United States. It takes five to blacken the entire country of Russia. It takes eight to blank and end all the electricity in Europe. So these are small numbers. Hopefully, no madman will ever blow up one of those type devices. But there are over 3,000 of those types of devices that exist on Earth right now. So, you know, it's always possible. We hope it never happens, but it's always possible.
Amen. So, and that's what I was going to ask you. You know, there's several countries that have that type of weaponry so that could happen. And so it's really important for us to know that, you know, we don't want to operate in fear, but we have to be prepared for whatever happens. That's why, you know, people are selling things like making sure that you have generators and solar panels so that you're not dependent upon electricity, because the solar panels, you know, it's from the sun. These are natural things that God gave us, and we can utilize those things that will still, you know, keep our refrigerators going, keep our, you know, if we need to have radio waves to connect and hear what's going on across the country, to be able to hear, you know, those type of things. But, you know, we have to understand that God will establish our plans, that God is in charge and reminding and leading and guiding us for where we need to go and what we need to understand. But we still have to prepare. We still have to trust that humanity on its own is wicked. We are surrounded by people who don't, you know, the world we live in is different. We've got kids killing kids and mama's killing babies and folks have been putting their babies in microwave. I mean, things are just don't make sense.
Come on.
So with all the things that can possibly happen, we just need to make sure that we're doing whatever we feel God is calling us to do to be prepared, you know. And I like what Brian was saying when he was saying, it's not about me and my, because some of the people I've heard that prep, they talk about, well, somebody come to get my stuff, I got my gun, I'm going to shoot everybody, they can't come take it.
Oh,
and there are and will be people who will try to steal from other folks if something like this should happen. They'll go, because they're too lazy, they're like the sluggard. They're not going to want to do any work, but they're going to wait until, you know, you've done all your work, and then they want to come and take it from you. But that's why there's a community.
people who work together to support each other, to help each other. And that's what God would have us do as family, as Christian families, to reach out, provide for one another. And I think that's why, you know, God, we're not a one-eyed monster, but we're a community of people who serve one another through the Lord. So as we are looking at this understanding of planning and preparing, we got to understand that God is in charge. And all of this, we've been talking for months about the end times, how we believe that we're moving towards the end times, how, you know, biblically, you know, this is not some, you know, scare tactic, you know, that the end times are coming. Those of us who believe in the Bible, it's there in front of you in black and white. And so we know mm-hmm. that the end times are coming. So the question for all of us are, again, we still got to plan and be prepared. Ultimately, our major preparation is in our salvation. But are we being prepared to do the fundamental things of survival? Are we being prepared to do the fundamental things of caring for our families? Are we being prepared to have salvation and to study the word, to share the word, to have that word being embedded in the lives of people, as Brian would say, a community sharing the word of God?
Mm-hmm. Dr. Susie, this is Bishop Michael in Tulsa. When you ask the question, are we being prepared, I would have to answer that question by and large, body of Christ and people who are not in the body of Christ. The answer is no. When I was teaching up in Rockford, Illinois, I found out that in the state of Wisconsin, they passed a law that your gardens can only be so big. And there, you know, it wasn't really enough of what people, you know, when you have a garden, you give to others, like Brian was saying, you know, that it's ours, right? And then we can come together. They passed a law up in Wisconsin, which was 16 miles from where I lived, that they couldn't have a garden. I told my students at school, I said, you guys are going to have to learn how to plant your own food. They looked at me like I had three noses on my face, because it was mm-hmm. like, no, I'm not going to do that. They, you know, there were in my own family that did not know where milk came from till we took him down to the dairy and let him see. There's people that don't know what we know insofar as the agricultural side of life.
Yes.
And so, no, we're not being prepared. We're, as by and large, we're not being prepared. And it's like the old fable of the ant and the grasshopper. The ants are working.
Yes.
The grasshoppers, they're playing. And winter's coming.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Those on the face, winter is coming. And, you know,
Amen.
We have one madman that we know of that is trying to get, he's trying to get the missile to cause the electromagnetic pulse. My boss has a totally electric Mustang. Did y'all hear what I just said? A totally electric Mustang. And it goes from 0 to 45 in no seconds flat. It's fast. I've been in it.
Uh-uh.
But let me tell you something.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, see? Let me, if we had that EMP, he will not be able to use their car. And that's what
and
we
so
need to people. Oh,
that means.
Yes, go ahead.
So, Bishop, that's the point, that people, we need cars that don't have, that aren't driven by computer chips. Is that right, Brian? Cars that are older, that are on a different
system.
Well,
yeah, it's, again, it's a matter of scale. Well, actually, thank you. That prompted something for me. I've been blessed to be in a profession for a long time. I'm not in it right now, but for many years I was in a profession where I got a chance to work with and get to know people, and I consider many of them friends from all over the world. As a result of those friendships, I was able to kind of have people on the inside, as different countries were going through similar transitions to what the powers that be would like to bring us through. And I've been able to watch and learn and listen to how those people in those countries got through it. And it is absolutely amazing what happens when people are in a situation where they need each other and they're not able to meet their needs by themselves. People come together in literally miraculous ways. There are also some bad things which happen. Okay, there are some bad things which happen. But I watched Libya, Venezuela, Iraq, Afghanistan, now watching Syria. I've seen the Balkans. I knew people in Kosovo. And they all reported the same thing without knowing each other. When the going gets tough, people band together, even cross-cultural, cross-religion. It becomes who's in my neighborhood that can work with me to make a garden. It becomes how can we get water out of somebody's well so that we can drink. It's amazing how people come together, even people who couldn't care less about each other before the tough times hit, start working together.
Amen. So the scripture says in Luke 14:28, for which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it. So we got to look at proper planning. It should be significant portions of making any decision. While determining whether to set a goal or not, we should be mindful of what it takes to make it to that goal. And that's not just including the cost, but it's talking about the sacrifice. It's talking about the labor. It's talking about the manpower to make the garden, to build the cabin, to have the chicken house, to have what's needed to survive. All of these things are important. So it says the plans in Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty, hello, comes only to poverty. So we have to be mindful. And that's why I love that scripture, Proverbs 6, 6-8, which is our main scripture tonight, that says, go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise without having any chief, without having any officer or ruler. She prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. So planning ahead, making plans, is not a feature that's held specifically for humanity, obviously, right? But there's so many lessons that we can learn by looking at God's creatures. Looking at this tiny ant who prepares for the future by gathering for harvest is a major clue. Wake up. Don't be lazy. Put stuff back. Prepare. Don't spend everything you can. Don't just be a consumerist. Put money back. Put things back. Prepare so that you can prepare and help your family and your neighbors and your loved ones who are going to need it. That's what the scripture is trying to remind us, that although God has plans and desires abundance for us, he is gracious towards us and will hold everything we need, you know, to provide for us. And we can't simply just sit there idly and wait on God to move for us. We need to actively wait, preparing our hearts for the plans that God has for us. Amen. So anybody else have some contributions that they want to share about the end or planning or, Brian, and some other things you wanted to share?
If someone else would like to speak, I'll wait. Otherwise, I can speak.
Go ahead. Bishop, okay. We have about 15 minutes left. Bishop, do we have about 15 minutes left?
Oh, I'm sorry. You have 10 minutes left, sweetie.
Okay.
Okay. So I'd like to cover this. We don't need to plan. Well, let me back up. Most people who are planning for disaster planning in general, whether it be for tornadoes or for a significant long-term financial and sociological change, they're planning with inventory. I would like to voice a word of caution that inventory always runs out no matter how much there is. So think about inventory as being something to get you by for a while until you establish your new methodology, you know, your new way to get water, your new way to get food, where you're going to be sheltered to do that. Build just enough inventory to get you through the transition for 2 to 3 months from how we live now with grocery stores to how it could be in the future without them. But don't try to put all your money and all your eggs in one basket by trying to build a huge inventory, because that will have many, many problems that we can get into at some other time.
Amen. Amen. And so thank you so much for sharing that, because it helps us to go look at going back to nature. I remember my mom and grandma taught me how to plant a garden, how to build, how to survive off of the land, how to go and hunt, how to get wild onions and have wild onions and eggs and things to eat off of the land. But the Bible tells us even more. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways higher than our ways, and God's thoughts than our thoughts. So understand that God is the one that we lean and depend on, and we have that relationship with God, then we're okay. So that's where we have to start. We have to start with making sure that we have a relationship with God, so that God can lead, guide, and direct us no matter where we go. He says, I never leave you nor forsake you. And it says, don't be afraid. First of all, we don't ever want to operate in fear, because that is of the enemy. He says, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, peace, and sound mind. So we operate according to God's plans as God gives us directions, but we think and we use the skills that God has given us. And so we plan and we wait and we trust. And so I love what Brother Brian is saying. We need to be prepared, but we need to take into account where it is that God wants us to do and what God and how God wants us to do it. Remember, God has a plan for you and I. In preparing and planning, always remember that God has the plan. Consult the Lord, and he won't lead you astray. Amen, amen. Yeah. So as we come together tonight, let us close with an invitation. Bishop, would you like to close us out with an invitation, Bishop Michael?
Yes. You know, we've been talking about being prepared. I'm reminded of a story where this court jester came and had this scepter, that he was going to give the scepter to the biggest fool in the kingdom. And the king just would laugh at the jester and everything like that. And the king began to get sick. And he was on his deathbed. And the jester gave the king his scepter. He said, I thought you were going to give it to the biggest fool. He said, Your Majesty, because you have not prepared for this passing over, you are the biggest fool. So what we're saying is, we don't want you to be a fool. You see the times. The gospel has been preached on this station, on this network, time in and time out. You've heard Jesus is coming. There's going to be rough times ahead.
Amen.
If things are happening now, you can see it. But if you want to know Jesus and the pardon of your sins, say this with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you. I ask that you would accept me into your kingdom. I confess with my heart.
Yeah.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my spirit. Heal me. Save me. Deliver me. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. If you pray that prayer with me, welcome to the family of God. Get into a Bible.
Amen.
In
hallelujah.
Name. Amen. Dr. Susie.
Hallelujah.
Back to you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We're so excited to have you in the family tonight, and please feel free to join us next, the second Tuesday in the month of February when we'll meet with you again. So God's blessings be with you, and thank you so much for joining Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. We'll see you next second Monday of February.
Amen. We want to thank you once again. I'd like to thank Dr. Susie and her wonderful panel of guests tonight. And we want you to continue to have a beautiful and blessed week. And we pray that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here on the Spirit Alive Network. Good night, everyone. God bless you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.